Shere Khan had jumped at a woodcutter's campfire, as Father Wolf had said, and was furious from the pain of his burned feet. But Father Wolf knew that the mouth of the cave was too narrow for a tiger to come in by. Even where he was, Shere Khan's shoulders and forepaws were cramped for want of room, as a man's would be if he tried to fight in a barrel. "The wolves are free people," said Father Wolf. "They take orders from the head of the pack, and not from any striped cattle killer. The man's cub is ours, to kill if we choose." "Ye choose and ye do not choose. What talk is this of choosing? By the bull that I killed, am I to stand nosing into your dog's den for my fair dues? It is I, Shere Khan, who speak." The tiger's roar filled the cave with thunder.
"I've only been back inside the dealership for 5 minutes, guzzling water and mashing my face against the air conditioner vent, when I hear the grating southern drawl.
Yo, Bubbles, no ops on the lot. Down and do your thing."
"That's Earl Cochran talking. He's kind of a dick. He's been here since the Stone Age, and he thinks he's God's gift to car sales. It was Earl's idea to get the damn gorilla. After the setup crew wrestled the gorilla onto the roof and got it tethered and inflated, Earl handed me the monkey suit and kicked me outside to bring in some ups. I've been out here for 3 days straight."
"Earl, it's 100 degrees out there. I'm dying."
"It was at the Great Exhibition that I first saw my cousin, and even then I could not but think of it as a convergence, not merely of the great new powers of industry and machines with those of hill and tree, but of different times. Here was the future, loud and brash and busy, and here all the idle repose and gawping of the past, drawn to this place to marvel upon its arrival. The year was 1851, and that was utterly apt, for the apex of the century had been crested, and we were now rushing headlong towards the next, at a pace that must surely increase 1,000-fold before its end."
The look on his face, the serene intensity of his eyes and of his mind, made it real to her now, in this moment, in this moment's full context, in this city. When he kissed her, she knew that their arms, holding each other, were holding their greatest triumph, that this was the reality untouched by pain or fear, the reality of Halley's fifth concerto. This was the reward they had wanted, fought for, and won.
"I wonder," the Emperor said, running a long finger down the arm of his throne, "what it is about me that repulses you so." The question caught Neil off guard.
"Excuse me?"
The Emperor laughed once. "Look at you, Neil Vaporous. You've been gawking at me since I walked in. I disgust you." He tapped his chin with a slender forefinger. "Is it my face?" he asked, eyes boring into Neil's. "Do I look ugly to you?"
"You can just call me Miss White, sir," she said in a polite manner.
"Well, Miss White, let me start off by thanking you for agreeing to see me on such short notice,"
Magnus said as he now leaned back from the desk.
"My pleasure, sir. As they say, when the king calls," Ms. White replied.
"Ah, yes, the king. That, I'm afraid, is a pseudonym that I neither solicited nor advertised. However, for better or worse, it is one thing that has spread like wildfire, and one in which I see no hope of discarding. But let me assure you, Ms. White, I am no royalty. I am nothing more than a simple cog in this great new experiment of the people's America. Trust me, the closest thing I have to royalty is this cup of Earl Grey tea,"
Magnus said with a light chuckle as he picked up and held the teacup in his right hand. Leaning back in his chair and cradling the cup in both of his hands, his tone took on a more somber note as he continued the one-sided conversation.
"Do you know how we got here, Ms. White?"
Holding her position in the chair, she smiled slightly and responded,
"I've found that life is easier when I don't worry myself with questions beyond my pay grade, sir."
"That was a nice trick, Vaporous," Saywolf spat. "But you're still going to die. I will rip your bones out of your flesh."
Neil smiled sweetly.
"You sure you're okay to fight, Saywolf? You've looked better."
He let his energy flow down to his fingertips. His hands glowed white with heat. And just as Saywolf raised his arm to immobilize Neil, he let fire explode from his body. Saywolf dodged around the ball of fire, but his concentration was broken.
"It seems we're evenly matched,"
Neil said, heating up his hands again.
"Don't insult me," Saywolf growled. "I am superior."
"Prove it."
Neil felt his hands getting hot. Saywolf scowled as he raised his arm.
"I'm about to,"